Do Northern Pass and Eversource agree with the towns about tax liability before the project is built?
So we've published these illustrative ranges, as I said earlier. As the final project design and engineering takes place, those ranges will tighten. We'll have more detail as to, you know, what exact infrastructure is going to be located in each town, how much does it cost. So the range will narrow. You know, one of the things that we have communicated to municipalities is that we are willing to make commitments around that tax range, assuming the municipality is willing to consider kind of the industry accepted practice for valuing utility property, which is the one Mrs. Shapiro described. It's referred to as kind of the net book value approach, where you put the plant and the asset in service based upon the value of it, and you depreciate it over a long period of time, which is 40 years. That's kind of the industry accepted practice, and that's a methodology we are certainly comfortable with and willing to commit to with the municipalities.
Okay. There was a second question on here. I probably should have asked it initially, but assuming that that the answer to the first question, that you don't make the agreements beforehand with the town, will you change your process so that there is an agreement that will avoid lawsuits that Eversource currently has against New Hampshire towns? I assume they mean tax abatement suits.
Right, and just, you know, in those instances where we are seeking an abatement of property taxes, it's because a municipality has chosen an approach that's not consistent with this net book value methodology. And it results in a tax burden that's significantly greater than this methodology. You know, this is, in essence, a pass-through for Eversource. Our tax burden is ultimately passed on to our customers and ratepayers. We have an obligation to ensure that the taxes imposed on our infrastructure are reasonable and appropriate. We don't seek abatement if the customary methodology and accepted methodology is applied. It's only when we face a tax burden which is significantly higher than that. You know, as I said, we are willing to talk to municipalities about an agreed upon methodology, either before construction, during construction, or after the project is put in service when we have actual construction costs. We are open to those discussions, and we're actually having them with several municipalities.
Okay, and this is, I think this is the last question about tax abatements. Again, referencing your abatement process, why should we believe Eversource on anything about tax revenue to towns when you are in court to reduce your current tax liabilities?
I think the response I just gave to the prior question hopefully answers that. We are not seeking abatement when the industry accepted methodology is used. We're only seeking abatement in instances where a different methodology is used and the taxes borne ultimately by our customers are unreasonably high.
Question for Mr. Quinlan. Your estimate of economic benefits to New Hampshire is focused one-sided on the supposed benefits of Northern Pass. What are the net economic impacts, taking into account the negative impacts, including loss of tourism, loss of investment, loss of property values and wealth, and associated loss of jobs and GDP? Will Northern Pass actually create a positive net impact?
We believe so. We believe the $4 billion of economic benefits is a conservative estimate. It could be far greater than that based upon other projects of similar size in other states. As far as tourism and property values, you know, these are issues that we're also focusing on. I think our application does seek to address them, and we are continuing to look for opportunities to minimize those impacts. But overall, we're very comfortable with the estimate that I showed you earlier, which is approaching $4 billion of economic benefit.
For Mr. Quinlan, how many permanent jobs do you plan to add to New Hampshire beyond the construction phase? Please be as specific as possible.
Okay, so one of the things that we have announced is an apprenticeship program. We've launched that in collaboration with the IBEW. The purpose of that program is to essentially train the electrical workers of the future. You know, my hope and expectation is that through projects like Northern Pass and Northern Pass, we're going to use that as the opportunity to create job opportunities for folks interested in that highly skilled trade. Ultimately, I do hope to hire a number of those folks as permanent employees of Eversource New Hampshire. What the exact number is, I'm not in a position to estimate that today, but we've got our first apprentice class up and running. I think we've got 15 apprentices. We hope to be launching a second class early this year as we move forward with construction with Northern Pass. I think those classes and those opportunities are going to grow significantly. Lisa, you want to talk about the jobs impacts and what the overall estimate looks like?
Once the project will be operational, there's a number of different avenues that would drive permanent jobs. Mr. Quinlan just talked about the direct in terms of the apprentice program, but first and foremost is the reduction in energy costs. Energy costs are a big drag for manufacturers in the state. We've lost a lot of manufacturing jobs. It's a big issue that you hear about a lot, and you can see that that's affected the jobs in that area. So the $80 million estimated reduction in electricity costs leads to job growth both in the business sector as they're able to invest and expand and keep their production, as well as in consumer spending and reallocate it to other places in the state. There also is about a $3.5 million annual operating cost, and that'll be spent locally as well. And Ms. Quinlan also talked about the $200 million Forward New Hampshire Fund. So one way to look at that is an additional $10 million a year spent locally, and that'll also generate additional jobs. So the permanent jobs estimates, it's kind of building up from those different areas, and we're looking at hundreds of jobs a year.
Yeah, and just to wrap that up, the numbers I was sharing in the apprentice, those are permanent positions within Eversource. We employ currently about 1,500 employees here in the state of New Hampshire. And we expect the apprentice program to be a feeder to permanent positions in our company. What Mrs. Shapiro is referring to are the permanent jobs outside of Eversource. And now you're into hundreds of jobs across New Hampshire, a good percentage here in the North Country.
Okay, next question has to do with the agreement to purchase your agreement with Hydro-Québec. Is the memorandum of agreement the only formal PPA agreement currently signed between Hydro-Québec and Eversource? And if so, how confident can New Hampshire residents be in Eversource promises of lower taxes, lower rates, and community funding and jobs?
Yeah, so the memorandum of understanding will be converted into a power purchase agreement, a PPA. There is another existing agreement that's signed with Hydro-Québec. It's referred to as the Transmission Support Agreement. That agreement is not only signed, it's been approved by FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Many of the benefits you're referring to there occur as a result of the Transmission Support Agreement, which, as I say, is fully executed, has been approved by the federal government, and is in effect today.
This next question has to do with your economic analysis. And it's a question that you're going to hear a lot. Why is important analysis of economic costs and benefits limited to one page, which is marked confidential? I think they're talking about exhibit or appendix 43.
Okay.
So we had this discussion in the previous.
Yeah. So term. There's a there is a very detailed expert report which quantifies all of the economic benefits we're referring to, looks at energy cost savings, looks at jobs being created, looks at GDP effects, much of that analysis is proprietary to the preparer, which is London Economics Group. So things that are in there are like their projection of the future cost of natural gas in the region, their projection of power purchase prices in the region. All of these key assumptions are highly proprietary and sensitive to that expert. Competitors of theirs would love to have access to, you know, what does London Economics think forward price of natural gas would be? So it is the expert and the sensitive nature of their information that's resulted in it being sought protective treatment for. It's highly sensitive to them. And I think, you know, the SEC will have full access to that report and all the underlying assumptions and analyses.
Okay. Next question is, if the project is needed, why did Northern Pass file it as a non-reliability project instead of a reliability project? Is the reason that Northern Pass filed as a non-reliability line because the company will generate a higher return on equity or profits under such a classification during the 40-year term of the line? I guess start off with why is it non-reliability as opposed to reliability, and then address the economics.
The simple answer is that it doesn't qualify under the ISO New England guidelines as a reliability project.
ISO New England being the regional grid operator, so for a project to qualify as a reliability project, it in essence is required to keep the lights on. That is not the case with Northern Pass. While it's an important new supply of energy into the region, it's going to help replace some of the generation that's retiring, today it's not required to keep the lights on.
Okay. And the other part of that question dealt with the economics of it. If it were I guess the easiest way to summarize the question is, what's more profitable to your company, a reliability project or a non-reliability project?
Yeah, in both instances, the return on equity will be has to be approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
So would they be the same, whether it's a reliability or not a reliability project?
I mean, the rate of return for the distribution company in New Hampshire, the transmission company in New Hampshire, and Northern Pass likely will all be different. Northern Pass may not necessarily be any higher than the transmission tariff rate.
And is that... You have to go before a regulatory agency to have that determination made, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes, so the regulatory agency, again, transmission is, energy transmitted in interstate commerce. It's jurisdictional to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. They will look at whatever rate is determined, both for reliability, non-reliability projects, and ensure that they're reasonable.
Next two questions deal with the Beirut property up in northern New Hampshire. Can you explain in detail the relationship between Northern Pass and Beirut LLC as it relates to future wind development on lands owned by Beirut? And will Northern Pass make public the lease agreement between Northern Pass and Beirut so that the public can understand whether the agreement is in the public interest?
The agreement that we have with Beirut does not have anything to do with future wind expansion. Again, that's an independent project or set of projects, separate, and whatever deal Beirut does with whatever entity is independent from Northern Pass.
And will Northern Pass make the lease agreement between Northern Pass and Beirut public?
Does anyone on the team know?
Sorry, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't know, that's the answer.
Yeah.
If we can check on that on the break.
Okay. You're expecting a break?
We will look in.
The answer is they don't know. They're going to try to check and get the answer for us. Next question starts off, quote, expected savings of $80 million, close quote. What is the dollar amount, I assume he means, of savings on my monthly $100 electric bill?
If you look at all customers across New Hampshire, and I'll say across New England, because the $80 million is only 10% of the total savings, you know, that's roughly New Hampshire's load share of all New England load, it's about 5%. Whether you're a residential customer or a business customer, on average it's 5%. That's for all of New Hampshire, and you can look at, in essence, all of New England as well.
So that would be $5 on a $100 bill?
Roughly.
Okay. 1,090.
I will say, just to add, across New England, it's an $800 million a year energy cost savings. So, 5% across New England is a big number.
1,090 megawatts. How many go to New Hampshire residents, to Massachusetts residents, to Connecticut residents, Rhode Island residents, et cetera? And who decides on how much goes to who?
So, the memorandum of understanding that was alluded to earlier reserves approximately 10% of that 1,090 megawatts for New Hampshire. So we have a commitment for 10%. That's roughly our load share for all of New England. The balance of it is not committed at this point. So none of those other states nor New Hampshire have locked in any additional supply. So to the extent New Hampshire is willing and interested in increasing the amount procured for New Hampshire, I'm certain Hydro-Quebec would be willing to entertain that. But right now, the only committed portion is the 10% under the anticipated power purchase agreement with Eversource New Hampshire.
This next question addresses that 10% as well. In previous sessions hosted by Northern Pass, representatives have asserted that they have no way of knowing in which direction power flows over transmission lines or what the source of the power is. Can you explain how the 10% of hydropower which Northern Pass asserts will be available to New Hampshire residents would be made available to New Hampshire residents, and if it can be allocated to New Hampshire, why would it not simply displace other possibly lower priced energy sources?
Okay. So, electrically, all of the power gets delivered to Deerfield, New Hampshire. So all 1,090 megawatts is delivered into the regional grid in Deerfield, New Hampshire. At that point, it flows along existing lines based upon system conditions. Financially, Eversource New Hampshire customers will get the benefit for 10% of that. If we're interested in more, we can certainly pursue additional supply from Hydro-Quebec. And what's happening, to drive down energy costs? Essentially, what you've got is the way the wholesale market works today is customers across New England demand a certain level of supply. Every hour, the grid operator looks at that demand and they stack up generation sources until the supply reaches the demand, equals the demand. When they get to that point, that last generation asset sets the price for all of the lower cost assets below it. Okay? If you take Northern Pass and you put that in to that bid stack, 1,090 megawatts of higher cost, generally carbon emitting generation, falls out of the bid stack every hour. That's what drives the economic benefit, is you are displacing higher cost carbon-emitting supplies, whether it's coal, oil, natural gas. Those tend to be the plants that are on the margin. Nuclear power, hydropower, wind power, biomass, it's all in the bid stack down here. What's on the margin are fossil fuel plants. So that's what gets displaced, and that's what drives the regional benefit.